Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. It is 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by Seth Habhager.
Good morning.
We hope you're having a great start to your Wednesday out there, everybody. Made it through halfway through the week.
Yes.
You got this. Just a couple days left. You can make it.
Wednesday is the worst day of the week. In my opinion.
Yeah.
I've never liked Wednesdays.
It's always been Tuesdays for me.
It's Tuesdays for you. Okay.
Be that day for me. I hear you though. Wednesday's not far off.
Yeah.
We're gonna make sure your Wednesday's all right though. We got good things coming up for you. We're gonna get into some entertainment news now in a little bit. We got some That Ain't Right stories, good stories of the day. And Seth and I are gonna get into March Madness by the numbers.
March Madness.
We've got some stats about March Madness as that is getting ready to go. Mm-hmm. It has already kicked off, really.
Yes, it has.
So we're looking forward to getting into that.
The games everyone cares about going on right now.
Yeah, right now. It is exciting, though. It's a fun time of year.
Some good basketball going on.
We kick off with some entertainment news here, and Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. They starred together in HBO's True Detective. Mm-hmm. The first season of True Detective, for me, is one of the greatest seasons of any show I'll ever see in my life.
Wow.
It is just the writing, the acting, everything is phenomenal to me. Is mm-hmm. at a 10. It's almost a perfect series in some ways.
Wow.
To me. Yep. You know, that's an opinion thing, of course, and such. But to me, that's how it was. And it was we had seen Matthew McConaughey do a little bit of serious work beforehand. Mm-hmm. But it was that performance of his and Woody Harrelson's performance, because Woody Harrelson has shown you for a long time he can do drama.
He can do anything.
He's been nominated for Oscars for it and everything. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know that Matthew McConaughey had that in him. Mm-hmm. And you watch that first season of True Detective, and you will be blown away by McConaughey's work. Mm-hmm. You've never seen Matthew McConaughey do work like that. I get goosebumps thinking about it, because it's just such a great... It was such a great first season, and their chemistry was so awesome and so good to see. And you could tell these guys are friends, that they get mm-hmm. along good, that they have a mutual respect. Well, they are now teaming up again on an unscripted show for Apple TV+. The premise is a little tired, but then these two, I could see it working.
Okay.
Woody is going to move to Matt's Texas ranch, where they and their families will attempt to cohabitate.
Oh.
It's a 10-episode series, but there's no word yet on the title or the start date. According to a press release, it's a heartfelt odd couple love story revolving around Woody and Matt's, quote, strange and beautiful bond.
Okay.
Like I actually thought that part of the reason those two's friendship worked is because they seemed like they have so much in common.
That's I thought that too.
I want to say Woody is a Texan. I think he is. I know Matthew McConaughey is
for sure. He's from somewhere around there. I know Woody is from that area. Yeah,
I believe Woody Harrelson for like 20 years has lived out in Hawaii. So I don't know if that's the flicks or the. I don't know.
Maybe they have some like. Political disagreements or something.
Maybe
I don't know.
Yeah,
that could be what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Although now that I think about it, that would be hard for me to believe because they have some other things in common.
I know what you mean.
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't watch reality TV. So as much as I love both those guys, I probably will not watch.
Not
this
interested,
show.
Really. No.
But I mean, I could see why they would want to. Like, they would want to do this. Mm-hmm. You get paid to hang out with one of your best friends.
Why not?
I can tell you, it's a great gig. I'll tell you right now, it's a great gig. I get to do it with two of mine. I'm very lucky. I'm very happy about it. Shout out to Melissa, the other one I'm talking about here.
Yes, yes.
Melissa, of course, at her at this conference today, the training.
The training that she's at today, yes.
Mel's going to come back and blow me away as far as a co-host. She's going to be way better than I am.
Well, I asked her yesterday to take copious notes for us so we can learn something too. So
looking forward to that actually. And shout out to all the Civic Media team that is mm-hmm. down there doing that today. And thank you to Civic Media for doing those having those kind of things for us. This is an interesting one, Seth. The John Wick director Chad Stahelski said Hollywood still uses real guns because it would cost too much to switch to electric guns.
What?
Electric guns were used in the making of the John Wick movies, with gunfire added in post-production using CGI. Chad told The Hollywood Reporter, quote, "There's no reason to have a live firearm on set. Mm-hmm. For prop houses, armorers, or supply houses to switch over, it would make the entire stock of real firearms useless. You don't need real firearms. Mm-hmm. The alternative is just going to cost you more money." The idea of not using real guns hits close to home for Chad. He used to be a stuntman and was actually a double for Brandon Lee on The Crow, the movie that, of course, Brandon Lee died on.
Because he was, an accidental shooting, yeah.
So that could have been Chad. That's incredible. I didn't know that. I know his work, and I knew he's a good director. I didn't know that part of it.
Wow.
And this is... I genuinely think that this could actually lead to some really good things to develop.
Say that
all of quit labeling the movie world under Hollywood. Hollywood and movies are two completely different things.
Yeah.
So let's just talk movies. All movies decide we're putting our foot down. We're not going to use real guns anymore. We're going to electric guns. What is one of the quickest things people want to go to when there is a school shooting or something? You will have a lot of people wanting to talk about gun control. Mm-hmm. You'll have a lot of other people talking about, but movies, but video games, mm-hmm. but music, oh, right. blah, 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 violence, 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 mm-hmm. That kind of thing. We will have an opportunity here to show if that is an actual thing or not.
Yeah.
If you have fake guns in there. Now, does a fake gun look awfully like a real gun? Is it going to still influence people? Possibly, yes.
Yeah.
But we're not going to know unless we actually try this.
Mm-hmm.
What efforts are we actually making for a safer world? I didn't say gun control there. I said a safer world.
Exactly.
What are we doing to have a safer... We keep having troubles. We keep hearing both sides of the aisle bickering and barking at each other, and not a dang thing gets done. Another shooting happens, and then we just can go through the whole cycle all over again.
Right.
Well, I this is something different, at least. At least it's an idea. Nobody, people are throwing out their ideas, sure, but they're ideas that they know are not going to land anywhere. They're mostly just talking points, or they're mostly just kind of like... thoughts and prayers, blah, blah, blah. Thoughts and prayers.
Sweep this under the rug while we're...
I'm so sick and tired of thoughts and prayers. What has thoughts and prayers gotten us? How far has that gotten us?
Not very far.
How about maybe we actually do some laws? How about we actually look at who is in whose pocket and why these things are happening? Because you can Google, you can search any search engine you want. There's no fake news in that. You go ahead and search. Look at how many Americans believe that there should be stronger gun control, stronger gun laws. 67% to 75%.
Mm-hmm.
That does not seem like politicians are doing the job of the constituents.
Right. Very great example. Let's take the simplest way of doing it. Universal background, federal background checks. 90%, over 90% of people agree with that. 90%, and it's still not happening.
I'm not anti-gun because I'm not a fool. I don't believe that getting rid of all guns is the way to solve this. No. That's never going to happen for one, and it's ridiculous to think of. And it's part of our rights as an American to own a firearm.
Right.
I don't believe that that should change. I also don't believe that you need an assault rifle to hunt deer. I don't believe that you need an assault rifle to protect. Well, what about the bad guys having one? How do you think we're going to get rid of the one that you had, the one that he had, the bad guy had?
Yeah.
If we're not getting rid of yours, if we get rid of yours, then we know, hey, only the bad guys have them. Let's get them out of their hands.
Yeah.
And that's what we'll do. We'll get them out of their hands.
Right.
That doesn't make any damn sense.
Yeah. By the way, if any real hunter out there knows, you do not hunt animals with an assault rifle because it's actually a cruel way of doing it. That's not what it's for. It's actually literally for killing other people. That's what assault rifles are for.
You're a coward if you're hunting with an assault rifle because that means that you're not any good at what you're doing. You need multiple shots to make it happen. I thought the hunting was an art. I thought that there was a sport. There's no sport in I'm gonna hit a bunch of squirrels and deer and all that.
That's just really weird.
And if you are proud of your gun, if you are a proud gun owner, if you like gun rights and everything, then you should be agreeing with us.
Yes,
because all these things that are happening are making it harder for you to just own your gun and just love owning your gun.
Exactly.
And shooting your gun at a firing range or going hunting or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. I want to say two quick comments about the electric gun thing. Okay, first of all, it's somewhat disturbing to me that it costs less to buy a real gun than an electric gun.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Okay, that's a little disturbing. And then the second point is I had the second point, now I can't remember what it is. But anyway, that was my main thing is that, you know, that is
disturbing.
That is disturbing. And oh, now I remember what my second point was. Okay, you're doing a samurai movie, a Japanese samurai movie. What if this props guy was, oh, we got a real sword here. Do you want to use that? Are you insane?
Yeah, yeah.
Who would use a real sword on one of those things? Right. Let's think for a minute here, okay? Mm-hmm. Come on.
I know we have to normalize this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
If you're tired of hearing it, I'm tired of seeing school shootings.
Yeah.
I'm tired of seeing, just all these different things. I grew up with drive-bys. I grew up with this stuff. I'm tired of it. I've dealt with violence literally as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. 5, 6 years old, I think, was the first, one of my first memories of seeing somebody with a gun pointing it at me, pointing at my father. This is what my life has been. I've dealt with this on the other side of things. If you've never had a gun pointed at you, I don't think you have a whole lot you can say on some of this topic.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different argument. It's a whole different conversation.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get into this right here, Seth.
Okay.
The funniest movie insults of all time.
Okay.
This is a big one. This is a heavy one, and we're going to take our time on this
one.
This
very
is an
good.
Important conversation.
Serious conversation.
So let's be serious. Right. No, this is going to be fun. there's lines from movies that you will quote your whole life.
Oh yeah,
and so many of them may show up on this list. We have a list of the 49 funniest movie insults of all time. We are, of course, not going to go through all 49 of them, but we do have a bunch of them here for you. Does Barry Manilow know that you raided his wardrobe from the Breakfast Club from 1985? It's a great one.
Take that, Barry Manilow. Yeah.
If staying here means working within 10 yards of you, frankly, I'd rather have a job wiping Saddam Hussein. Bridget Jones' Diary.
Wow, that's a pretty good one.
From what I hear, you couldn't hit water if you fell out a boat, Bill Bull Durham.
That's a good one. It's a great movie, too.
You're somewhere between a cockroach and that white stuff that accumulates at the corner of your mouth when you're really thirsty, from Con Air. It's a good one.
Wow, that's an excellent one. You know the funny thing? I don't think I've seen one of these movies yet, so...
Aaron Brockovich from 2000.
Okay.
That's all you got, lady? Two wrong feet and ugly shoes.
Take that.
I don't know this one, the movie The Favorite from 2018. You look like a badger. That's just a funny insult.
You look like a badger.
I do remember this one. Great movie, A Fish Called Wanda from 1988. I love that movie. To call you stupid would be an insult to stupid people.
That's a classic, and you've heard that one since then. Yeah. That's a good one. Yeah.
The Hangover. You are literally too stupid to insult.
That's pretty stupid.
From Home Alone from 1990. You're what the French call les incompetents.
That's a good one, yes.
I this one bothered me at the time, but it was darn funny, and I heard that Robin loved it himself.
Okay.
From the movie Knocked Up, your face looks like Robin Williams' knuckles.
What?
Robin was an incredibly hairy man.
That's true. That's true.
Very hairy man, and he owned that.
Oh, he did.
Made fun of himself all the time for it. And from what I remember reading in an article, he loved that joke.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
Matilda. Your mummy is a twit.
Well, that's very straightforward.
It's very straightforward.
Very British.
Twit is a great insult, I think.
It is.
Being called a twit, there's not a lot of comebacks to being called a twit.
No, and it's much better when said with an English accent.
Yeah, so you're a bloody twit.
Bloody twit. You're
a twit. You're a bloody twit of it. I'll tell you what, the day I need a friend like you, I'll just have myself The Mist. Yeah.
Is that your favorite movie?
God, I hate that movie. Worst movie I've ever seen. By far and away the worst movie. Worst ending by far and away.
Oh, my.
Easily the worst movie you will ever see of any movie.
I can't give the movie all the blame for that one. Because as much as I enjoy Stephen King, writing his endings sometimes. He's got a rough ending.
Well, with this one, though, this one, the director went away from the
The
written book
because
he wanted to have a getcha ending, a really catchy ending and all that. And it bombed.
Failed.
It did horrible. Yes, it was just horrible.
Well, to be fair, the original ending, The Mist, isn't that great either. So.
No, it's not. You're right. I'll explain, and I'll use small words so that you'll be able to understand. You warthog-faced buffoon.
Okay, I should know that one, but I'm drawing a blank on where that's from.
Picture me laying in a bed, completely unable to move, in an all black.
Oh,
I'll explain.
Princess Bride.
I'll explain to you, and I'll use small words so you're sure to understand. You warthog-faced buffoon.
That whole ending. He like insults him like several times, and they're all really good. Yeah,
it's done in the extremely great matter of Cary Elwes, where he can deliver this line and deliver this line here, deliver this line and deliver this line here. It's a simple little talent as an actor, but God, is he good at it?
He's good at it. Oh man,
I just saw him. He's gotten a new life here in movies, and I just saw him in a movie recently, and he's so good. He's still darn good. He's just one of those guys that I'll always root for. I got a question. If you guys know so much about women, how come you're here on a Saturday night completely alone drinking beers with no women anywhere?
Oh, gosh. Again, I should know this one.
Say Anything from 1989.
Oh, that's it. Yes.
The great John Cusack.
Oh, man. That's a good... That's a classic one. You can use that one.
from Shrek, you're dense, irritating, miniature beast of a burden.
Don't say that about Donkey.
That's a great one. That's a great one. You dirt-eating piece of slime, you scum-sucking pig, you son of a motherless goat. Three Amigos.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my gosh.
You're a sad, strange little man, and you have my pity. Toy Story.
Oh,
Toy Story from 1985.
I just watched that recently, too.
Yeah.
Oh, and I couldn't remember it.
And maybe the greatest insult ever uttered in a movie of all time from 1975. Your mother was a hamster and your father smelt love elderberries. From Monty Python and the Holy Grail. That whole interaction
with the Spanish guy and those insults
so
are
so good. It's so darn good. Holds up.
It does, yes.
That's so funny. There's some good ones out there, everybody, if you want to go ahead and look them up. Also want to encourage you to share them with us.
Yeah.
You can go ahead and send them to us. We'll do the topic all over again.
Yeah.
Just go ahead and direct message us on Facebook. Type into your search bar if you haven't done so already. WFHR. Like our page and direct message us your favorite insults in movies or TV shows. You can also email me, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us.
There's got to be many more insults out there. We want more.
Get them to us, everybody. We're loving to hear them. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back with more fun for you on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you. And interesting that we had a little bit of Playmakers music play there.
Yeah.
Because we're going to talk a little sports right now in March Madness.
Mm-hmm.
I do want to send a shout out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing again, who sponsor Playmakers.
Yeah.
Be sure to join us every Monday for Playmakers from 10 to 11. It's your sports show to call in and talk with you sports with us.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to get into this with March Madness by the numbers. The NCAA tournament kicked off. Here is everything you don't need to know to enjoy the action.
But still, it's fun.
It's just fun stuff.
Yeah.
It's also in like halftime or in between. It's fun to have these random facts to throw at your friends.
Good point.
I love being able to do this.
Take notes, everyone.
Yes. Yeah. $16.3 billion. That is corporate losses due to unproductive workers during March Madness. $16.3 billion.
That actually makes me smile a little bit.
And me too.
It really does.
Me too. I certainly don't necessarily like, businesses losing money, but I like the idea of people not working as much.
Yeah, why not?
I do like that part.
America works hard enough as it is. Let's take a little break here, you know?
And as a side note to those that give a darn less about college basketball, pretend. Pretend that you care use it as an out. Use it as an out.
You know what? You don't have to know anything about basketball to have fun with doing a bracket. You could, and it's, especially at a year like this where it's basically random. You know, you could roll dice with all of them if you wanted to.
I was telling Melissa that's the exact thing. It's just like when we were talking about her filling out a bracket. She's like, well, I don't really know anything. I'm like, neither do the people on ESPN.
No, they don't.
Nobody does. Nobody knows anything. Nobody knows who's going to win this thing.
That's what makes it fun.
I have a feeling the team that wins the national championship next month, when they're holding up the trophy, even they're going to be like, did we win? Are you sure we won?
Yeah.
Are we sure? Because I don't know. Yeah. 37%, 37%, that is the percentage of Americans willing to call in sick or skip work to watch games.
That's a decent number. 37 is not bad.
My oldest friend, my greatest friend, Chris, mentioned him on the air a couple of times. Chris, Chris and I have known each other since fifth, sixth grade, something like that. And since then, as long as I've known, Chris is the one that got me into college basketball. My Aunt Karen loved it a lot, but she liked the women's game more. Mm-hmm. Chris was really into college basketball and college sports, really. So he got me into that, and I got him into hockey and boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And Chris would, he would go to school sick as a dog, just so he could use his sick days this time of year. And it never failed. And if you think I'm exaggerating,
I believe you.
Senior year was still doing this. Like from sixth grade to senior year, every year you could mark it on the calendar. Chris Zerflew was not going to be in school for these said days. And his mom and dad, like they would let him get away with it after a while because of his grades and stuff. And he was
doing all right. Yep. I see no problem with that. There you go.
What was funny to me was how long Chris thought that he was pulling one over on his parents.
Sure. As kids, we know that. We think we are,
but they know.
We got to give our parents a little more credit than that.
$1.14 billion, the annual revenue the NCAA in 2022 will bring in. $1.14 billion.
What do they use it for? I have no idea.
How much do the athletes get of that?
None.
Yep. And zero. $0 is what player, that is our next stat for you. $0,
you know,
what payers are paid for participating in the tournament.
Yep. You know, because when I check out the NCAA tournament, you know what I'm looking for? I'm looking for NCAA executives. That's what I want to watch.
Right.
You know, well, they're getting the money. I should get something for it, right? You know?
Yeah. Well, we all know that we watch these games because of the coaches and the referees.
Exactly.
Like the people that are the only people that are being paid. Yeah.
Exactly.
And NIL is great. I think NIL has been a good thing for the college sports. It is the Wild West, and it does need some governing, but it is good. But I'd much rather see these universities paying these kids.
Mm-hmm. Or better yet, just get them. I'm sorry. That's just something it's one of my old pet peeves is just, why are they even attached to universities anymore?
Yeah.
I get it when it started, when it was just fun, when it was just, you know, our college is taking on your guys in football, you know, and it's going to be a fun game and that kind of thing. It was just, you know, for challenge, you know, for school pride, that kind of thing. No, it's not anymore. We have to face the facts. Okay.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with these universities anymore. Nothing.
I think we are every day closer to that world where the NCAA is done. Mm-hmm. There is no more NCAA. There is no, and if there is, we have this all set up where we could separate the two, college athletics and
we could.
In college education.
100%.
We could separate these. It's not that hard.
No.
It's been done for us already with divisions and conference play and all this stuff.
Okay, we got that. We've got NIL. We've got the transfer portal.
Yeah.
It's free agency, basically.
To so many of these kids, there isn't a need to go to this university or that university. Mm-hmm. They're going to the school that gives them a scholarship or something like that. Very seldom does the pipeline go from, you know, in-state kid.
Yeah. Or it's the best place where they can get noticed for the draft. If they're one of those players that's really good, that they think they're going to get drafted by some professional team,
12+, that is the number of college basketball programs involved on corruption cases involving payments to players since 2017. Jeez. It's been going on forever.
It has been.
It's just now being more out in the open. $10.2 million. That's the salary for Kansas's Bill Self, college basketball's highest paid coach. The school's chancellor and the governor of Kentucky make a combined $710,000 a year.
He makes that a year?
Yeah. Now, Bill Self makes $10.2 million a year.
Yeah.
The school chancellor and the governor of Kentucky make a combined $710,000 a year.
Less than $1 million. Not even close.
And it's bigger when you look at college football. And you, more the times than not, the highest paid state employee is the college football coach.
Yep, I believe. I don't know if Wisconsin is there, but I know most states that's the case.
I'm almost guaranteeing you it is there. Yeah, they just got in Luke Fickell. They just brought in the biggest.
Oh, now I'm sure it is now. Yeah,
in college coaching.
Yep.
They just brought in the biggest fish. That they're definitely in that
highest paid public person. Yeah,
$334.2 million Estimated value of Kentucky's basketball program, which is the highest among all schools. It generates $22 million in revenue. That $22 million, none of that can go to the kids? None of it?
Even though they're the ones that earn it. So frustrating.
And if you want to throw the scholarship at me, and will they get that with the scholarship? Tell me, okay, does that mean that they are not, for one, they're not going to have any student debt, that they don't have to pay for their books, they don't have to pay for this, that they're, who's paying for their meals, who's paying for this, who is paying for the time that they are spending training and practicing the sport when they could be studying, or they could be doing and working a part-time job or something like that. Yeah. Like, We get entertained by these kids. We get entertained by these schools. At the very least, we could be doing that.
Yeah. Yeah, and the fact that, I should stop because this is just a pet peeve of mine. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't make any sense to me. If you're going to have a bunch of players that are just basically going into the – want to go professional anyway, then have a minor league. Then turn it into a minor league. I don't care. This is ridiculous. The amount of this, it has nothing to do with learning, and then you're going to bring athletes in that are really not interested in going to school at this point. You know, they may go back later, which is great, but that's not why they're there. They want to play, and that's fine. I have no problem with them wanting to play. But why connect it to a learning institution?
I like the idea of most athletes getting to do what Caitlin Clark's going to do at Iowa. Caitlin Clark could go down as one of the greatest college. She will go down as one of the greatest college basketball players of all time. This young lady is amazing, and she's going to probably spend all 4 years at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I can't imagine how good she's going to be as a senior, let alone how good she's been as a sophomore and all that.
Right.
So most of the college basketball fans, that's what we want. We want to see a kid stay 3-4 years, get better, see that team thing and all that. If you want that, the reason Caitlin Clark can stay in college and is because she's got NIL money. So she can stay at that university and everything. She's actually probably, unfortunate, this is another sad story, she's probably going to make more money at Iowa than she would getting drafted in the WNBA.
Yes.
That's pathetic. That's sad.
That is sad.
The way we pay college women athletes is pathetic.
In general is pathetic, yeah.
But you really want college basketball, you want college sports to be better, you want these kids to stay longer. Universities paying them would probably do that.
It would.
And to that point, the 47 times, that's the difference between the average NBA rookie salary of $3.4 million and a Division I men's basketball scholarship for a year, which is $71,000.
And that's not even, and so that's only certain players.
Quit throwing the scholarship in our face when we talk about athletes getting paid. It doesn't make any, it doesn't add up. The math doesn't add up.
Mm-hmm.
$10 billion plus. That is the amount wagered on NCAA 23 tournament.
That's insane.
$4.4 billion plus. That's the amount wagered illegally.
So $10 billion legal plus another $4 billion illegally. Wow.
80 million, that's the number of tournament brackets completed, more than half of the 156 million ballots cast in 2020 election.
Hey, idea. Maybe we should do our elections as a bracket.
I mean, you know, I
maybe that would help.
I keep talking about ranked choice voting.
Yeah, I mean, that would be a great example. You're right.
It's not actually, you know, I don't think you're off there. I don't think you're very off.
I think we got something here, man. Let's do.
Boy, I wonder who's going to be the number one seed this year.
Yeah.
I mean, people, we see so many people right now treating their political party as a team anyway.
Anyway.
Which is sad.
Very
sad. I got to say, that is one of the most lame, sad things I've ever seen. You realize they don't care. They don't care.
No.
One in 9.2 quadrillion. Quintillion.
Whoa.
Sorry, quintillion.
Quintillion?
One in 9.2 quintillion. That is the odds of filling out a perfect ballot. That's crazy.
It's random.
Bracket. I think they mean bracket. Yeah, yeah.
And that's random. Basically, that's random.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to randomly do it, you have as good a chance as anyone else.
We're actually going to get more into that after break, the idea of a perfect bracket.
Ooh.
And finally, 19%. That's the increase in beer sales during March Madness. chicken wing sales go up 23%. And fan consuming 2.3 billion wing portions. That is a lot of wings.
Wings in sports. And that'd be an interesting story to tell how that happened, how wings became like one of the sports foods. I don't know.
I can eat it without taking my eyes off the
TV.
That's
got to be part of it. That's got to be part of it, yeah.
When we get back after Melissa's news, we're going to tell you about filling out a perfect NCAA bracket. That's coming up on Mornings at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Serious Comment is Start Your Day. Sing like a bandit, stealing time underneath the sycamore tree. Cupid by the awesome Valentine's to my sweet lover and maid. It is a really good song.
It is.
I mean, it is a really good song. I think it holds up. I think it actually holds up.
I love how he gave the word tree, two syllables, tray.
Yeah.
That was really good.
I mean, you could see why, you know, he came out the gate hot.
Yeah.
I don't know about building your own Hall of Fame. This is Terrence Trent D'Arby.
Yes.
Kind of funny it's playing on his birthday.
It is. That is kind of look at how it worked out
That did not, that was not planned.
No, it was not.
Much like his career.
I could have planned it. I'll take another shot. He had it coming.
So we were talking brackets before, and if your brother-in-law or someone at work asks you to fill out a March Madness bracket, don't worry about not being an expert. It ain't going to help anyway.
Nope.
Because it's basically impossible. The odds of finishing with a perfect bracket, guessing all the games correctly, is 1 in 120 billion.
Mm-hmm.
That's assuming you know something about college basketball going in and considering how the teams are seeded.
Right.
If you're a non-fan who just guesses based on something arbitrary like flipping a coin or the odds soar to 1 in 9.2 quintillion. One mathematician put it this way. You have better odds of winning the Powerball with two consecutive tickets than getting a perfect bracket.
Wow.
And you have better odds that a family of four will all get hit by lightning separately in their lifetime.
That's putting it into context, right?
There is a 1 in 10,000 chance that you get injured by a toilet in your lifetime. So there are better odds that the same family of four will all get injured by a toilet than picking a perfect bracket.
Wow.
And that, no one... Oh, sorry. Go
no,
ahead.
That's fine. That's something.
And no one has officially submitted a perfect bracket ever.
Mm-hmm.
The longest streak of perfection was a neurologist from Ohio who managed to pick the winner in the first 49 games in 2019 correctly.
I remember that. Yep.
There are 63 games in total. So just fill it out for fun, and who knows, maybe you'll get lucky, and everyone in your family will trip over a toilet and get struck by lightning, and you know, you'll be
all at the same time, and win Powerball two times in a row. Yep,
yeah, there you go. Yes. The first four games have already started, but most people only count the official 63, so mm-hmm. you can keep that in mind, too.
Yeah.
And there are some tips for this.
Oh, there are?
Yeah.
Okay, such as they are.
If... like a lot of people say, doing multiple brackets, using science is another way of doing this. Some people do it that way.
Okay.
Once you pick a set of final four teams, 12 additional game outcomes become fixed, effectively reducing the number of games that you must pick.
Exactly.
So if you start with the like who you think will make it to the final four and go the opposite way, it for some they find it more accurate and better.
Oh, okay. I find that less fun, though.
Incredibly less fun.
And, I like doing it the other way, yeah.
And it doesn't speak to the idea of, bracket busters or, upsets and all that, which this year, I mean, there's going to – I will say that there will be at least 3 to 4 upsets, and that's lowballing it. That's like trying to make it play it safe for myself here so I can't have this thrown back in my face.
I do doubt we're going to see a 16 beat a 1. I mean, this year, I don't really see that happening, but mm-hmm. – there could be a couple of, I don't know. I hope there's not twos because I think I picked a couple of twos to go pretty far this year. So I hope there's not many of those upsets. But hey, yeah, we'll see. see what happens.
Warren Buffett will pay you $1 billion to a fan with a perfect bracket. This is still going on. He's been doing this for years. If you actually have a perfect bracket, Warren Buffett will pay you $1 billion.
You know, as generous as Mr. Buffett is, because he knows he's never going to lose that.
Right, right.
It would be more impressive if he did like half of his net worth. That would be impressive to me. You know, several billion dollars. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he says $1 billion to be paid out in 40 annual installments of $25 million. That's how it would work if you were able to do this. So I like that he's actually even broken it down for you and everything.
Although he could easily just say, here's $1 billion.
Yes.
I mean, that's how much money he's got. I mean, seriously.
It is very insane when you think about what some people are worth.
Anyway.
Yeah. We're going to take a break on that note. Come back with the That Ain't Right story, some good stories of the day, and plenty more fun for you on The Morning Show here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, and we're going to take it right to the top of the hour, lead you into CBS News, and then Morning Magazine. We got a good one lined up for you today. Mm-hmm. Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer going to join us in part one, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Shane and I always enjoy hanging out, getting a chance to talk. We got plenty to talk about today. Going to get into the new ShopGo development and some other different things.
Some different
surveys that are out there right now I want to talk about.
Yes.
We'll get into that with Shane. Looking forward to it. And in part two at 10:30, Sally Kistner, Executive Director over at the Arts Council, Eric Britnocker, Performing Arts Center Director, are going to join us, along with artist Chris Cruzy.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I do not have to introduce Chris. I do not have to tell you who he is. You all know who Chris is.
Yep.
We're so excited about this. We've had Chris join us on the air before.
Yes, yep.
We're looking forward to having him back. Mm-hmm. I think the third time he's joined us here at WFHR.
That's really cool.
So it's starting to get to the point where we might have to put him on the payroll. Might have to start putting Chris to work here pretty soon.
I think he's doing all right. I think he's doing fine.
I think he's just fine.
Yeah.
He's all right. Yeah, he doesn't need that. Doesn't need it. We're looking forward to having Sally, Eric, and Chris join us at 10:30. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, if you did not hear, your Wisconsin Badgers were victorious yesterday Bradley. That means that the Badgers will continue this Saturday. They will have a game for you. Now we're not sure. They haven't given the time yet.
The times yet for that one. No.
So we're going to be listening and waiting to find out about that.
Mm-hmm.
But we will let you know when we get to it. We'll also let you know, of course, once we find that out about all of our weekend entertainment for you.
Yep.
Seth Faces Music, Director's Cut, that kind of thing.
Yep.
We'll give you more details on that probably tomorrow or Friday.
Yes, indeed.
I would say be listening around then. For now, we get to a That Ain't Right story here, and this is a doozy, like they all are. There's nothing wrong with splurging a little on a date. In fact, you could get dumped if you don't. A woman named Daphna went viral on TikTok after she talked about a date that was going perfectly fine until her date ordered a burger.
Mm?
The waitress asked him if he wanted cheese on it, and he asked if that was an extra charge. She said it would be $3 more, so he said no. He later told Daphna that it was crazy how they charge extra for everything these days, and that turned her off. She said, yeah, it's New York City. After they ate their meal, she got up saying she had to go to the restroom, but instead she paid the bill and walked out.
She bailed. Oh my gosh.
She texted the guy telling him that the check was paid, that he shouldn't have got that he should have gotten the cheese, and blocked him.
Wow.
Daphna apparently wasn't interested in a man who was frugal. If even just for himself. He wasn't like doing this to her. He was just doing it to himself. So she seemed happy about the decision. But she is getting ripped in comments and, of course, on social media.
Of course, yeah.
And people are saying she's the one who's crazy. She tried to have fun with it in follow-up videos. There's one about how cheese costs more even at the store. And there's a skit where she goes out to a restaurant and orders extra $12 cheese for her burger. But she also complains about how people are being way too harsh to her.
She's missing the point.
Yeah.
It's not the fact that it was the cheese. It was her reaction to the whole thing. So you just bail and then text him?
Yeah.
Come on now. That's cowardly.
In any event, Daphna claims she is giving the guy a second chance. She says they're talking again and that there will be another date. She added, he's a psycho like me and we're going to have fun. Oh, man. Oh, I don't like where this is going.
This is very, very not comfortable territory.
I feel like we're going to have another That Ain't Right story from these two.
It's going to be
any day. Is it frugal? Is it a bit much? Yeah, I wouldn't do that on a first date or in front of somebody else, probably. I'll be completely honest.
Right, yeah, but still.
I think that it's something to maybe pick on a little bit. Because isn't that part of a relationship is figuring out what you can tease each other about, what you can get away with? You know, having a little bit of that. Not too much, of course, but a bit of that. Because it's how you... going back to grade school, everybody, this is how we showed each other how we liked each other. We picked on each other.
Yeah,
this is what we did.
This
and we do the same thing as adults. So I think there's a little gentle ribbing that you could have done there to like smooth this out. And if everything's going good and you let that... I don't want to be mean here, but I almost guarantee they're young. Because the older you get, the more you realize. Like, I don't mean that you settle. No human being should ever settle, no matter what age you are, no matter what you look like. Nobody should ever settle.
Because it's not going to work out, probably, if you're just doing it for that reason. Yeah.
Right. But the older you get, you realize more and more of there is no perfect person. There is no perfect situation. It's more about what do I work well with? What do I work best with?
Yep.
What can I tolerate?
Yeah.
Because human beings are messy, are loud, are nasty.
Gross.
Are gross.
Yeah.
We're grumpy. We have bad days.
Yes.
We don't look great in the morning when we wake up. Like, we have all these factors.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, figure out which ones don't have the ones you can tolerate.
Yeah,
the ones
right.
that you can live with.
And that seems, I mean, the way she went about it, it's like scorched earth policy.
Yeah.
Because of one thing, that seems very excessive to me.
Now, had he done this to her, it might have been different to me, but that he was doing it to his own meal, but she was able to, you know, he was telling her he was paying for it, and that, and she could do whatever she wanted.
Yeah,
he was being frugal on his own self. That, like, being cheap is something that I could see, you know, could definitely, you know, really bother people. That I could see that as being a deal. I don't know about it. I could see it being a deal breaker, I guess, nowadays. But again, what are you expecting?
Well,
like, what person are you expecting to come across?
This is one instance, too. We have no idea. You know, maybe it was just because that one, the price of the extra for the piece of cheese just bugged him. Just the fact that it was just that one thing doesn't mean he's like that with every single thing.
Right, right.
And so, yeah, just it seems like we don't have enough information going here. Yeah. And there just seems to be, So, anyway.
I feel like that we'll get more information when they show up again in their That Ain't Right story.
Because it sounds like they're going to.
Yeah. Yes. We get to some, need a palate cleanser. So we're going to get some good stories here and everything. We got good stuff. Like a 2-year-old girl in Florida was found face down in a pool on Sunday.
Ooh.
But a 911 operator stayed totally calm and helped a family member save her life. Now, the audio from the call is making the rounds online. It also shows chest cam footage of the cops showing up in real time to take over.
Nice.
I listened to this audio, and it's just like I've paid attention to dispatchers. I know what dispatching is pretty well. You gain a whole nother respect for the world when you listen to that audio.
That's that is a very important and very tough job. That's a tough job.
That 911 operator is a hero.
Yes,
a
indeed.
Hero. Two videos out of China are going viral. One shows a random guy scaling the side of a building to save a toddler who fell out a window and landed on a ledge.
Oh, wow.
The other shows a guy swimming across the icy lake to save a dog that fell in.
Wow. That's cool.
It's one of those mixed bags for me. Every year around this time of year, we see people saving animals on ice. Deer, dogs, all
true.
This. And your heart goes out to it because... I don't want to sound mean here. I love animals. If you've heard me on the air, you know how I feel about dogs. You know how I feel about these animals.
You know what tomorrow is.
I don't think we could ever afford to lose a human being over an animal.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that is just being... Yeah. I understand it's being cold-hearted and all that. I'm just being honest. But in those moments, in those situations, I'm so like I find myself rooting for them more than my own sports teams. Like I'm cheering. I'm like you would think that my team's in the Super Bowl. I'm like, come on, you got this. You got this. Be careful, safe. You got it. Even in videos where I know the outcome, I'm still doing it.
He's even got pom poms for it. So
yeah. I put on a jersey. I love this video so much, but I cringe. I worry sometimes.
At the same time, yes, I hear you.
But that is. impressive, those individuals. Yes, and again, cool. Incredible video.
Yep.
And speaking of dogs, lifeguards and firefighters in Long Beach, California pulled a tiny dog out of the ocean on Sunday. It was running around a parking lot at the beach, and for some reason it jumped in the water and started swimming straight out to sea.
Oh, no.
A lifeguard managed to catch up with it and brought it back in.
Good job.
Yeah. Way to be the great job, lifeguard.
That's right.
A dog catches a scent, and most dogs, especially young dogs, are not smart enough to let go of it.
You're right.
If I'm skiing and one of my skis goes out, the smart thing for me to do is to let go of the tow line. But I've seen this many times where a skier forgets to do it in the moment. They forget, yep. And they hang on for a second or two and get dragged, and then yep, they let yeah, go right, or whatever. Yep. This is the equivalent of a dog with catching a scent.
Right.
And they just aren't thinking straight. Like, the smartest, most well-behaved dog can lose their mind.
They're still dogs.
Yeah, you know? They're still dogs.
That's what they do, yeah.
Had a zebra attack a guy the other day. It was his pet. He had this pet zebra. The zebra attacked him, and they shot the zebra. Now, I don't blame those officers that did that. They're not trained for that stuff. Yeah. I blame the guy.
Yeah.
Why do you have a pet zebra? You don't need it. It's a wild animal.
Wild animal.
And I don't feel for that person that was attacked by the zebra. It's a wild animal.
It is.
What do you expect to have happen? These people, it's like getting we lost Tommy. Why? Well, Tommy went lion hunting. Oh, yeah? Well, I don't feel sorry for Tommy. Tommy knew what he was getting into.
Like, I don't know about you. I'm rooting for the lion.
I mean, what are we doing? The idea, it's an animal. Like, it's still an animal.
It doesn't matter.
More good stuff for you. An 81-year-old guy got his car stuck in a snowbank in Eastern California and was stranded for 6 days.
Wow.
But he survived on some croissants and candy he had on him.
Always take your emergency kit, people.
Apparently, always.
Always.
Yes, and emergency snacks.
Yes, you need that. You never know. You never know.
This is the third story since winter we've done where somebody has survived a long amount of time because of, like, ketchup packets or something like that.
They have some kind of food in their car, yeah.
I'm not kidding. Like, when you're putting that tool kit together or that snow kit together and everything to help you get out of a snow, have some snacks in there.
Have some food in there, yeah, yes, yeah. 100%.
Before a woman in Mississippi passed away in 2019, she made her grandson promise to lose weight. He was 649 pounds at that point, but he kept his promise. He now lost 360 pounds and didn't even have that gastric bypass
surgery. Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
Wow,
that's a pretty cool thing to do. A nurse in Indiana named Katrina Mullen recently adopted a teen mom and her three triplets who were born premature.
Whoa.
She's already taken them in, but the adoption made sure that they didn't end up in foster care.
Wow. That's above and beyond.
That is a hero
that
right
is
there.
No kidding.
And an elementary school in Arkansas recently let kids come to school dressed as their favorite superhero, and an 8-year-old named Caroline Carlson showed up dressed as her teacher.
Oh, wow.
It's pretty cool.
That's sweet.
It's a pretty darn cool story right there.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I see what you're doing, kid.
Yeah,
I
know, Caroline. I know what you're doing. No, nice job. No,
that was
job,
great.
Caroline. Even if it is for those reasons, like, good on you,
hey,
Caroline.
Can you imagine how that teacher felt?
Yeah.
Can you imagine? It would have been just vindication. Yes.
Yes.
I'm doing the right thing.
They are superheroes.
They are.
We appreciate all of you guys out there listening. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have more fun for you tomorrow. We'll have the gang back together. Melissa.
Yes, because I will be here. It'll be so much fun.
And Melissa. We'll have the team
together.
Yeah,
whatever.
It'll be fun. We'll have some fun. It'll be a good show. We'll also have our Pet of the Week from the Southwick County Humane Society tomorrow. We're looking forward to that and having Madison and our friends from the Humane Society here in tomorrow. That'll be a tomorrow show right here at, well, you know what, Chuck? You got a better voice. You do it.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.